Which of the following to ask that name honourable members, please and gentlemen. Welcome to all the stakeholders that are present here. I can see the number of familiar faces around. I hope we're going to, like we had in the previous days, have very fruitful days in preparation to our work as a committee. My name is Joyce Moloi Moropa, the chairperson for communications. Thanks, co-chair.
Thank you very much, co-chairperson. I will be chairing the morning session, and co-chairperson Moloi Moropa will chair the session in the afternoon today. We are seeing four entities, and maybe before I start with that, just to make it a habit of reading apologies. We've got apology from Mr. A.M. Sheikh Imam of the National Freedom Party, NFP. We've got apology from the Minister of Communication, Minister Motambi. We've got apology from Minister Cwele, Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services. We've got an apology from Mr. Ndlozi, who will be arriving late. We've got an apology from Honorable Melga, Freedom Front. We've got an apology from the Deputy Minister of Communications, Honorable Ndabeni Abrams. You'd remember, members, that Honorable Ndabeni Abrams has lost her brother. And then, I think those are my apologies. Any other apologies, members? Oh.
Yes, Cameron McKenzie said that he would be late.
My apology, Honourable Member Shin, you had indicated that Honourable McKenzie will arrive late. Any other apology? Okay. Noted the apology of Honourable Maseko with other responsibilities to leave at some point from the meeting. Honourable members, we have a special guest today with us, a grade 11 student at the Leadership College in Menenberg. He is shadowing following two table staff members or NA table staff for 2 weeks, just to understand what is being done in Parliament and understand what the role that we play, all of us, and all the work that we do. He is interested in politics, mainly public relations and communications, and currently he's following Ms. Regina Mhlomi, who is Sergeant at Arms for Parliament. His intention of being with us today is to gain experience in leadership, relationship between different table divisions, and how Parliament functions and how our work as committees as well function. His name is Lonwabo Nkonzo. I'm going to ask you just to stand so that members can see. And welcome. Hope you enjoy your stay here with us. Honourable members, on that note, we are going to hope, I'm trying to see if anything is on the screen so that we can begin. I'm not so sure we are getting there. Are we getting there? Can we get somebody? You see this technology. Can I just appeal to the committee secretariat, really? It's becoming unproductive for us to start and turning our heads trying to get things sorted. This should be done before we start the meeting. Okay, let's get members to introduce themselves, but I think we must get ready for a presentation by Ingamva. So if by the time members finish and we don't have anything on the screen, we're going to use the presentations that have been circulated, because I don't think it's really assisting us to delay. Let me get members to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Lindi Ramasebo, a member of the African National Congress and a member of the Telecommunication Committee.
Thank you, Lady Sojesi, member of Telecommunication, the first officer.
Tumela, Kinalaka Kimapule Mafolo, member of the ANC and member of the Bottle Flow Committee on Telecommunication and Postal Services.
Morning, Nokuzo Landongeni, member of ANC, serving in both committees, which is communications and telecommunications. Thank you.
Morning, Leru Mukalako, member of the communications committee and member of the ANC.
Morning, my name is Moses Tedi. I'm serving on the portfolio committee on communications from the African National Congress.
Good morning. My name is Tommy Nkwana, a member of the Communications Committee, serving also in both of them, and that's their joint defense.
My name is Pipoy Tigani, member of the Portfolio Committee Communications, and also a member of ANC.
Good morning, my name is Marion Shin. I'm on the Telecommunications and Postal Services Committee. I'm from the DA.
Good morning, my name is Gavin Davis. I'm from the Communications Portfolio Committee and I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, I'm Veronica van Dijk from the Democratic Alliance. I'm also on the Portfolio Committee for Communication.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm trying to see if we can start. Let me start. I'm just going to request to all our presenters, kindly note members have received your documents, your strike plans in advance, they have read them. So please, I'm going to kindly request you have not more than 30 minutes to do your presentation. Highlight what is important for us to note and what you want us to hear within the time you are allocated to present. Otherwise, I will be cutting you short and you will not be able to finish your presentation. I'm just appealing that we be mindful of time. We take in two presentations in the morning, so you present. After presenting, we'll allow the chairperson of the NTT to introduce even the delegation. Then the presentation takes form. It doesn't matter how it happens. The delegation will decide. We open for members to engage. That's why we want enough time for members to be able to engage and yourselves to be able to respond. Hence, I'm appealing that you should note that members received your strategic plans in advance and presentation. They would have gone through your documents, and therefore you don't have to go into detail on areas that are not necessarily needed for you to go into detail. We'll start with our first presentation, taking IKAMFA National Skills Institute. Over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Khaitiwe Leneba. I'm the acting chairperson for IKAMFA. Our chairperson couldn't make it to the committee today due to unforeseen circumstances. Allow me to just introduce the team which is here. We've got our acting CEO, Dr. Harold Beso, who's gonna also help us with the presentation. We've got our CFO, Mrs. Muera Malakalaka. Our company secretary, Jonathan Cohen. We've got the head of training with us here, Mr. Peter Ramatswana. We've got three board members with us here. Mr. Tamika Plaki.
Jefferson, can you have the individuals introducing themselves or just say the name with the face?
Okay. All right, we can do that. Maybe starting first with the presenters on the other side.
My name is Harold Besso. I'm the acting CEO of the Kamba National Age Skills Institute.
My name is Moira Malakalaka, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Kamba National Age Skills Institute.
My name is Peter Ramatswana, Head of Training at INET.
My name is Jonathan Cohen, Acting Company Secretary of the Kamba National E-Skills Institute.
My name is Kanyisi Langambi. I'm the non-executive board member of INEC.
My name is Lucas Melo, a member of the board.
I'm Tamika Plaki, member of the board.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think what we will do, we will allow the two colleagues to make a presentation so that we can directly go into the issues or that the committee might have or questions that the committee might have. Without any further ado, I'll give over to the team.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson, and good morning, honorable chairpersons and members. We have a time problem, so I will really flip through the slides and assume that you've read the strategic plan and the APP. We've also distributed a newsletter from INESI, and I think the second last page is actually important because we've refined some of the concepts there that I will use. What I will do is to really go through the slides focusing on our vision and mission and how it is aligned to the department. We'll give some context to why we are skilling people, strategic objectives, and perhaps talk about risks. Now, our vision and mission is on the slide. Just to give you the context of that slide, we're responding to the mandate of the former DOC in terms of creating a vibrant ICT sector, but also very importantly that we have to impact the socio-economic environment of the country through e-skilling. We directly we aligned with Program 3 of the Department around policy, research and capacity development. And it's against that backdrop that we established INESI with its mandate to promote e-skills human capacity in South Africa, so it's a national intervention. The mission is to provide a national integrated e-competence development management system for the country, and on the basis of that we've launched the INESI in February this year as a national catalytic collaborator. And I think so we impacting on institutions in terms of working together to deliver the skills we need. And we respond directly to South Africa Connected Broadband Policy. Chapter 4 deals with digital opportunities, the skilling of people in the country, our national ICT policy, the national development plan, and so forth. So it is briefly how we aligned to the department and important national policies. The environment that we find ourselves in, I think, provides the context for our work. Number one, there is that we accept that the world is changing, that we, in an e-world, talk about e-governance, e-education, e-commerce, e-business, so we need e-skills to be really functional in a world of that nature, and we, over the past 200 years, we have moved from an agrarian age through industrial age. Today we're in an information society where E is playing a very important role. Secondly, we have to understand that we in a mobile world, and red graph shows how mobility has increased over a period of time. And of course, number three, there is internet bandwidth. And I think in the next couple of years, South Africa will start performing in that space as well. So it is about the changing world, it's about mobility, it's about bandwidth, and the skilling of our nation. And I mean, the NDP is very clear on that. We need to have an illiterate society within the next couple of years. And that is one of our very important focus areas. This slide is very important. I think many people still think that when we talk about the knowledge economy and information society, we're only concerned about ICT infrastructure. And a lot of focus is going into ICT infrastructure, broadband, pipes in the ground. People forget that is actually, you know, less important. It's about the services, the applications that we develop. It's about modernizing our institutions, and it's in the end about our people and dealing with unemployment, inequality, and poverty, and how do we really build a society that can utilize the ICT infrastructure. So ICT infrastructure per se is no longer that important. So the question is how do we respond to that? This is merely to give you a sense of how we compare with other upper middle income countries. And you can see the red that we've identified there are areas where we're doing not so good if we compare ourselves to other countries. We're not doing very well in skills, in individual usage, in government usage, social impacts, and so on. So how do we start developing skills for our people in those areas? This is more graphic. If you look at the World Economic Forum Global IT Report, we see here that, you know, whilst we're doing fairly okay in other areas, our main problems are about affordability, about skills. We are 102 out of 148, I think, here in 2013. But more important is the social impact, where we are 112. So in other words, we may have the infrastructure, we may have the technologies, but the problem is whether we impact on our people out there, whether we improve the quality of life, and skills, of course, is very important. This just to give you a sense of how we have, you know, fared over the past couple of years since 2007. We're going down, so somehow there must be a national intervention to stop it happening. This slide indicates that the only way that we can do that is through coordination, to work with other institutions and entities to have impact. And I think for us, and that's why we have to look at social impact. So it's not only about putting out students, but really how do we impact with our skills on development. And then to integrate our skills with other areas is no longer only about an IT skill or understanding how to use the device. But really, e-skilling means how do we integrate our technology skills with other skills, and of course, research is very important. This is to give you a sense of how we structured nationally. We have the idea is that we have in each province a co-lab, what we call co-labs, collaborative laboratories. In the old jargon, one could see them as faculties, but these are co-labs, each one with a specific focus, specific thematic area. You will see there that in the Gauteng, for example, we have a co-lab that we call Creative New Media Industries, and that is also where Nelisa is located in terms of radio, television, and other new media work. But you will see, for example, in the Western Cape, we have a focus area on e-inclusion and social innovation. You see there, the one that is double colored there is Limpopo. We have just signed an MOU there with the University of Limpopo to establish a thematic area around connected health, how do we use modern technology, modern media to get people, you know, quality health care. We edge, as we speak today in Northwest province, we're working with an international team of IBM to establish a new co-lab there, and we will know by Thursday, you know, what they propose the thematic area will be. So when we've done that, we will have co-labs, collaborative laboratories in 7 provinces. The idea is in the end to have a collaborative laboratory in every province. This slide was merely to give you a sense of what the focus areas are and how we intend working together with other state-owned companies like ISASA, Centec, ICASA, and so on to collaborate and bring things together. Now this is eventually, if we have 9, that each collab build its own local collaboration infrastructure so that in the end we, from our collabs in the cities, reach out to rural communities, deep rural areas, skilling people from, you know, virtually to in rural areas. The whole thing about this initiative is to massify e-skills. In other words, I mean, we have rough calculations. If we want to be an e-literate society, ideally by 2030, we have to impact 10 million people over the next 5 years, and those will be from PhD students right down to people in communities with e-literacy skills. And this is how we build this collaboration, this environment, so that we can really get all the people on board. And you can see here we've done work with many people in government, in business. The World Bank is currently engaging us on establishing ICOMWA as an African entity to deal with e-learning. So we have together many entities. This is what we mean. E-literate. We have to get our people e-literate in order for us to establish or to deliver information workers for the 21st century that will also feed into our professional environment. And these are the skills, e-user skills, e-practitioner skills, and e-business skills that we're focusing on. So it's not only IT. I mean, it's different between computer literacy and e-literacy. Computer literacy is really understanding how to use the device. E-literacy is really understanding how to use the device to evaluate information, create new knowledge. And I think that is the e-literate society that we have. And we're falling behind in many respects with what other countries are doing. So e-literacy is actually the foundation, and from there you focus then in different streams. Sector user e-skills, whether it's tourism, agriculture, whatever, e-leadership skills, and also e-ICT practitioner skills, but everything in an e-skills context. This is just to give you a sense of how we have an architecture. This little brown figure there is actually a cloud. So whatever we develop, we put into a cloud, and that is accessible from, if we have the right technologies deployed, will be accessible from wherever the person is. We have developed, for example, a module in e-literacy, and that is in the cloud. So even in a deep rural area, if there's connectivity, the right connectivity, people can start doing that course, certificated course that people can do across the country. So we can reach thousands of people with that. This is just to give you a sense of how our collaborative laboratories will be virtually linked. We have the virtual hub here in the Strand, so we will be able to skill people from a central place and right into communities where our community centers, we will be able to skill. This, I'm not going into too much detail. The key here is that we're working with an aggregation model. We monitor, we evaluate, because it's not only the institute that will deliver students and skills, but wherever e-skilling is taking place, we will capture that. So we, in the end, can say how many people are e-skilled in the country. We must understand recent research done in the European community indicates that by next year, more than 90% of jobs that will be available will need e-skilled people. They even declared 2014 e-skills for jobs. In other words, we have a serious task, we have a serious intervention that we have to deal with. We last year, with a very limited budget, could impact something like 3,500 learners across the country, across different provinces, in urban areas, in rural areas, and those were merely pilots that we've implemented. If you look at our strategic objectives, how we structured at a high level, we have five programs. Administration, a key program for us, as you can imagine, is multi-stakeholder collaboration. We're working with the United Nations Development Plan. We're working with other United Nations agencies, the European Commission. They sponsored us in a number of ways. A very important area for us is actually e-astuteness development, and is defined in the newsletter at the back. That is a concept that we developed in South Africa. It is the old learning and teaching if you go to academic and environments. What e-astuteness means is actually you have to, for the knowledge economy and information society, develop a certain attitude towards your environment within the context of ICTs. So that is a unique South African concept that we're exporting now to other countries, to Europe and to the USA. We've just done an academic publication on EU students. Knowledge for innovation, again, is not just knowledge for research and development, but specifically we need to get our people innovative, because that is how we're going to survive in the knowledge economy. And of course, very important is education. As we speak, we're developing a system whereby we will be able to see the impact of the work that we're doing. So it's not only the output. The next slide is giving you the goals that we're pursuing. And our programs relate to these different goals. And I think there because we've changed the computers, I cannot access this year, but this will take us actually to the APP that you have in front of you. If you go to the annual targets, I think section B, what we've done there now for the first time is you will see we've quantified all our outputs. We have a annual targets, and you will see all our targets are in terms of numbers. So it is defined. It is you know what we will deliver, and we can be managed against that. You will also see section C of our APP is about defining all our targets in terms of outcomes. So we have, as far as we can, we have quantified our outputs in a section, and then we have also indicated for each target what will be the outcomes, what will be the impact. So auditors will be able to see, you know, what we've delivered and what the ideal outcome will be. These are our envisaged impact. What we're saving is, you know, is 1,000 by 10,000 over the next 5 years. If we can get each of our TOLACs to really, you know, come to the party with the right resources, we've done a rough estimation. We will be able to, over a 5 year period, with different methodologies and different programs, impact 10 million people. And then, of course, we hope there will be a multiplier effect, because if you properly e-skill a teacher, the teacher will be able to properly e-skill students. And the National Development Plan talks about illiteracy, and the department is also tasked with the job to ensure that we promote illiteracy skilling in schools and also and we also work closely with FET colleges. So So it's really a national intervention in order for us to impact against national government policies. With that, I will then ask Maura to just go through the financial matters.
Thank you. I'm just going to take you through the financial reports. I've got two slides, the statement of financial performance and the statement of financial position. On a statement of financial performance, I would just like to remind the members that the Income by National eSkills Institute is a new institute. It's made up of the eSkills branch from the Department of Communications and also NEMISA. So the budget that we have there, the 37 million, is what we would have had as a transfer payment for NEMISA. The total transfer that we're getting in terms of a grant is 38 million. From that, the compensation of employees is actually salary-related costs of about 21 million. I will explain that it actually, when I say salary-related costs, it actually includes costs such as training and development, which is, because it's a new institute, we encourage continuous professional development so that we actually can upkeep with the scaling the nation. On the next slide, the statement of financial position. So we have acquisition of assets as 1.5. We actually, on the next slide, Dr. Vesel, we had not actually finalized our budget as a whole Income by National eSkills Institute, because the transfer of assets and the transfer of staff and the transfer of budget from the Department of Communication has not been finalized and is due to be finalized actually before the end of this financial year. We hope by the end of the quarter, September, it would be finalized. The program on administration, you can see 36 million. It's because of the 21 million of salary-related costs. And it leaves us with about 14 million of our goods and services. Our program on multi-stakeholder collaboration, building and e-skill development, and knowledge for innovation and aggregation of framework, we have 14 million. And again, we would like to highlight that the budget in terms of the DOC has not actually been finalized. The 14 million, you see, there's quite a gap, because there we were recording 36 million, this is 15 million. The 14 million is actually made up of 2 million rand. That's for continuing with the work that NEMISA has been doing with the students with regards to animation and graphic design and all the current NEMISA students. So we're taking through the program and we're still taking them through the program. And the 12 million from that relates to the rollover from 2013-14 with regards to collabs, which is the money that we reserve for the collabs. And as I've mentioned before, we're still working with the DOC to finalize the transfer of human resources and the budget. The projects that now we're currently working on is Moses Kwatani's project. Moses Kwatani's project, with the project that we work with the KZN province, topographic design and regular production, projected amount for that is 750. The project started in 2014-15. And the Department of Communication Community Radio project, we continue with that. It started in 2011-2012, and we are going ahead with it. Just a few things that I want also to highlight was that the operations in terms of staff, the staff cost is actually 43% of the budget for staff related costs will go to operations, 41% will go to support staff, and about 16% goes to executive management. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think we appreciate the strategic plan, especially because as Parliament we're interacting with the entity for the first time after its merger. So we do take note of that, and So we are looking sharply into it because we would like to see how the merger is going. Do you mind to switch off the mic that you've got there? We are taking very keen interest because we'd like to see the progress in terms of the merger, how is it going, and if the merger you are finding stability. But I'll come later. Let me just ask members to pose the questions that they've got, questions and comments. I've noted Honourable Member Sheen, Honourable Member Davis, Honourable Mafulo, Honourable Tsedi, Honourable Tsotesi, Honourable Ngwa. That order, members.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I would like, please, a confirmation from you as to which department you will be reporting to. Are you going to be reporting to communications or are you going to be reporting to telecommunications? Then I have a problem with the financing of this, but we'll go into that because you've mentioned not at all, it's in your strategic plan, something called the e-readiness fund. What is that and who's going to contribute to it? Then is the institute itself going to be involved in training still, or is it just going to be a sort of collaboration network between educational institutions, I'm talking the wider sense of departments, government departments and universities and private institutions and business. The focus areas for the collabs around the provinces, how are these focus areas determined? How are they going to be managed? How are they going to be financed? What is going to be the cost of running a collab, and where is that money going to come from? Then, has there been buy-in from teachers and teacher trade unions to actually get involved in this? It's a very ambitious project, this, and obviously if the teachers aren't involved in this, it's going to fall down. And then I wanted to know about how the collaboration between the government departments is going to work. And things like SALGA, the local government institutions. Because it's, as I said, it's a very ambitious program, but you know, it's extensive networking and buy-in from, you know, schools, provincial governments, municipalities. You know, it's a mammoth task to manage. I mean, it's running a country on its own, and I just wondered if A, you have the buy-in, who's going to be really driving it, and who's the champion of this? For example, to get the entire national buy-in, you'd need something like the president to actually, you know, beat the drum on this. And I'm wondering if you've got that buy-in. Yeah, and if you could just please explain what this e-readiness fund is and how much you're expecting private enterprise to contribute financially and in kind to this program.
Honourable Davis.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think that the work you're doing is laudable given the decline in e-readiness as we saw in the global rankings. But I do have a few concerns. First of all, we've also seen a decline in the global rankings in illiteracy, not e-literacy, but illiteracy, traditional illiteracy. So how are you working with schools, and how are you working with schools in particularly rural areas where there's high rates of illiteracy to help learners become e-literate? Because there would seem to be a huge divide between those two things, because if you can't read or write, or if you don't have basic numeracy skills, it's going to be a big leap forward for you to become e-literate or to have e-literacy or have e-skills, as you put it. That is my first question. The second question is, what is the cost per beneficiary of your program? So in other words, how much do you spend for every person who benefits or gets e-skilled? How much does it cost the state to fund that person? And I'd like a number for that, an average number for that, please. Then, just on the salaries, you've given us a breakdown of the the salaries, and it is concerning to me that the out of 38 million, 21 million goes on salaries. That seems to be an unacceptably high proportion, and I wonder how much value for money we're getting out of the other money that gets used. Now, I'd like a breakdown of the goods and services that you provide. Because if I look at the financial report, we actually see that in the last financial year, you've increased the salaries, and the budget allocated to goods and services actually decreased. And we've seen with other institutes like this, where there's a year-on-year increase of salaries, but a decline in actual outputs and outcomes, and we don't want that to happen with this brand new institute. Then I see that just on the projects, there's only two projects currently, the Moses Katani project you mentioned for 750,000, and then the Department of Communications Community Radio project. Please could you give us some more details about the Community Radio project and what it hopes to achieve? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mafulu. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. And Chairperson, I think it's...
Honourable Davis, your mic, please.
Chairperson, I think it's very important for you as chairs to make sure that the officials ask questions that they should supposed to be answered, because if you are saying which department you are going to fall under, I mean, the minister has really spoken to us as members that there are three departments, proclamations have been signed, what they are waiting for is only the functions, of which it's not for the officials to tell where to or where not to go. So I think it's very important to protect such type of questions. No. Please protect me, otherwise I'll protect myself.
Maybe she's Honorable Shin. I think Honorable Mafulu is correct. The entities don't decide where they report to, where they want to report to. And your question was to say to them, where do they report? And I think as it is now, they depend on the instruction as per allocation with the President's proclamation. Am I out of order? No, I see your hand is up while I'm speaking. You want to speak? Let me give you to speak.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'm trying to get an understanding from the departments themselves if they know where they're talking to, because we debate this budget next week, and we need to know into which budget debate we talk about these entities.
Seriously, out of order.
No, I'm not.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Can I finish also?
No. Honourable Member, switch off your mic. Because I allowed you, you didn't even allow me to finish because I was still explaining. That's why I'm calling you out of order. Because I was still on this platform and I thought maybe you were interjecting because what I'm explaining does not make sense. We are dealing with budget vote 27. There's no confusion. Next week is not affected at all. Then the proclamations and everything that has happened. Remember, as Parliament, the budget that has been tabled, the appropriation that has been tabled before us, is the appropriation that we are dealing with as ministry and committees. It's vote number 7 and vote 27, nothing else. In those two votes, it's vote 7, GCIS, vote 9, GCIS, vote 27, Department of Communication. So what you are asking has nothing to do with next week's budget vote, because if you look at the scheduling from Parliament, we are debating DOC budget vote 27 on the 16th. So whether they belong where, it does not affect the process we are involved in now. We do not have anything as per legally we've been explaining in the committee. That says whether, if we debate next week, Parliament can pronounce itself on something that is not yet tabled. They will know once appropriations has been done to say, your budget allocation and this is where you belong. So our next week's budget has nothing to do with telecommunications, because there's no telecommunications department as we speak. Our budget vote has nothing to do with the new Department of Communications, because it doesn't exist as we speak. We are dealing with budget vote 27.
27 DOC as it stands. So it has nothing to do with the process. It has nothing to do with the budget vote that we are dealing with, as tabled by Minister Gordhan before we went to elections. So I agree with what Honorable Mafolo is saying. Let's allow this process. We're dealing with the budget that is before us. When the time comes, when we start now dealing with the establishment of the departments, which we'll do immediately after the election, after the budget votes, we'll definitely get into that to get to understand who belongs to where once the departments have been established.
Thank you. Just to go back to our meeting of July the 1st, Chairperson, you said that on the 15th, that's Tuesday, we will be debating the Department of Communications, and on the 16th, we will be debating, your words, telecommunications. So now, you know, we perhaps need to sort this out after the entities are presented. Which minister will be speaking to which debate? Thank you.
The debate, let's close it. I'm going to close it. The debate for next week on the 15th is budget vote number 9, as before Parliament. On the 16th is budget vote 27. Who in minister debates where, I don't think I need to get involved. It's up to the executive to decide how they organize their business. For us as Parliament, we are organized. We know which debates is being debated when. The executive can pronounce on that. I can't speak for them. They are not here. The ministers can tell us when they are here to say when are they debating. But as we are dealing with the budget, there are two budgets that we are dealing with. I am verified with, remember what I said in the last meeting, we'll go and verify with the National Assembly table. That's what I said when I spoke about this, to clarify the process. We have done that. The clarified process, that the 15th vote 9, the 16th vote 27. That's what we are dealing with. Honorable Mafolo, let's proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. CEO, acting CEO, in your presentation, I didn't see your staff component. I'm just interested on that. And then the collab in provinces, where in provinces for oversight purposes? If you are saying it's in Western Cape, where in Western Cape? And then what mechanism do you use to identify where to establish the collab laboratory? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Cedric.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Few issues. I appreciate the presentation as well. I'm having with me a very nice newsletter here, very informative, of good quality. If perhaps you can also be just to share with us, besides these copies which are in English, how many of them are in the rest of the official languages, including Braille. Secondly, is the whole issue of the internet banking, which has always been associated with challenges like criminals interfering on people's banking accounts. Just to share with us to what extent are we able to succeed to deal with that particular challenge. And lastly, I think there was one other issue regarding the bigger chunk of the budget going to compensation of employees. I think it's an issue that has been raised earlier on. But just to share with us as to percentage-wise, how much percentage then goes to programs which have got direct impact on the lives of our people. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me also follow suit in welcoming the presentation of Wani Bayi here. On the decentralized model, I see you have already covered 5 provinces, you are left with something 4.5. I would like to know the changing sectors for you to prioritize the areas that you have covered already, and when do you intend covering the remaining one, taking into consideration that these areas also have vast, you know, areas of rural, areas which are very rural and remote. And if you can also be provided with a physical location so that you can be able to do oversight in the coming future. And also on your provision of services to schools, do you have a specific relationship with the other schools? You know, most of the time when you talk about the young people or students, we really focus on the really, really young people, and at other schools we have people who are disadvantaged and will be in their need of these services. You also made reference to your working relationship with the United Nations agencies. Moving forward with your plans, do you intend a bilateral program whereby we can establish exchange programs and expose South African students to other, you know, countries that are more developed than us, for them to get their chance of exposure? For now, Chair, I'll stop there. I think the financial issues have been attended to.
Yeah, just a few things with the understanding that the culture did indicate that we do understand that there are still processes in terms of bringing together the entities that are being integrated at this point in time. But just few matters. We do have, you know, in terms of our South African society, the generation that did move on without skills. Some of them have decreased or trade, but they did not really, they don't understand this, the skill, etc. The plans in terms of capturing those, because most of them might be in various professionals, well, there will be those that are outside of course of professions, but there will be an older generation and would understand the issue of skills, technical skills, particularly within that generation. That's the first thing. You have made mention of the HRD, the Human Resource Development Skills South Africa. I think that is one program that had been driven from the Deputy President's office. I know it's driven by the Department of Higher Education and Training as a secretariat. That is a very important reference that you have actually done. I would get comfort if you refer to particular areas that are already pulled and linked for that integration board. I think that's an important part. It's already done, and analysis is done, and there's knowledge already in terms of where the skills are required. So if there are practical, you know, a correlation in terms of that programs, I will definitely be comfortable at that level, because I realize that we're starting to really integrate and work together and collaborate in the program. Yeah, the other issue is the IT-based community and the telecommunication centers. I just need to understand the relationship that is existing there with SASA, if it's a direct relationship. The other issue is on the curriculum on e-skilling the nation. It appears, I need to be convinced here, it appears that it's high leveled, you know, it's bottom down, it's top down. It doesn't convince that it comes from you know, it just that I'm worried about the top down approach. I think it's gonna leave out on particularly the majority of the people if it's that way, and therefore we need to really get convinced that there will be an approach that looks the other way around, or if that thought has been there, can we be clarified on that thought so that we can be comfortable that it is also touching on other people. I will just leave out other areas, maybe for some later interactions with wherever the entity might lie. Thank you.
Thank you, Co-Chairperson. Just a couple of issues from my side.
Chair.
Oh, sorry, Honourable.
Thanks, Chair. Quite difficult. One of the chairs has spoken, you see. Quite difficult. But be as it is, just to also join the other members in commending the work of an entity like this one, which is still new. Just to raise few issues, others have been covered. The first one is the decentralization model. I see that in other provinces or areas you have started the work, but as one member has just raised it, it's around when are we going to see the program being implemented in other provinces which are outstanding? Because it doesn't appear, it just said this is what we've done in these areas, and actually verbatim it says not yet, but it doesn't explain that when is it going to be done practically. I have picked it up, and also in your presentation, that you were speaking about 3,500 learners which have been assisted and so on. But I'm not quite sure as to whether this 3.5 represents the total work. And if you can, because you might have given us now, but if you can, how is the breakdown on the e-skilling on this figure which you have given us? Well, we have presented your finances or budget analysis. I didn't pick up the funding model. How actually are you financing? And moving forward, how are you going to be financed? Or how are you going to finance yourself moving forward? It would be good to start early so that in the middle you don't find yourself having a problem of starting to look for the funding model and so on. Of course, it's something which it might be an ongoing, but we should at least have a sense. Well, on page 30, you have the National Multi-Stakeholder Network Models. I didn't pick it up around how do you interact below the SETs, the schools. And that's what the chair has actually raised, that you will have to be careful so that you don't start on top and leave the other lower areas. It doesn't pick it up in terms of how we're going to interact with schools and other lower structures. In terms of their e-curriculums and their competency frameworks on learning and teaching, which I think it would be good to start there. Not to start there, but to integrate that in your work. I think that might as well help the entity. I'm happy as well that the issue of saying where will the agency go or other agencies go is no longer a matter to be discussed in any other way, because the clarity that is given by the chair is sufficient. And that is our understanding. We are not confused about the matter. We are not confused. It would be given clarified as we move forward, and that is where we are. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, just another matter that I needed to emphasize, particularly around the issue of the measure. It will be very important for clear timelines, you know, so that we hold you to the dates that you gave us, if that hasn't happened. Not something like either or, maybe September, but exactly that. This is how you want that process to flow. You think you might be finalized. We'd need to quote you on the dates and the times that we've put as part of our work, of course. The other issue, the very last issue, it's the collaboration, you know, because it's one issue I want to emphasize. I don't hear you talking about, you know, there's a school of government. Kaplan should know that that's what we used to meet with the interaction there at Palama. The Palama, I don't hear any talk about Palama. Is there is there a separate thing that is done, then there will be Palama, then there will be COPTA with its own things, because we need to understand how government collaborates its programs together with the government entities. It's important for me to know if there is that kind of collaboration. If it's not there, then we need to be clarified what creates separate entities working on the same matters. Thanks, Kocha.
Thank you very much. I think members have raised quite a number of issues that needs attention. And for me, more is that the entity as it emerged has got an opportunity to try and do things differently in light of the current situation. The economic situation, that you've got to immediately as you start be sustainable, look at financial sustainability. And the current situation financially does not give us that confidence, I think, from one city, of long-term sustainability in terms of the institution itself. So it's going to be important, because I'm saying this, you've got that opportunity that as you start, you need to do that. And the same thing is what is worrying, is that when you look at how you are establishing the institution, there are a couple of things that are a bit worrying. I mean, how you are intending to collaborate properly, as my co-chair has said, but issues like selection criteria, term of office, remuneration composition are required to be included in your strategic plan, because you're moving from somewhere. You've got to be able to see that if you have, for example, all these 18 positions, what is the plan? When are you filling these vacancies? Because capacity of the institution relies on its individuals that are going to be able to do the work. So it has to be very clear what you're going to do. But let me just come to a very basic thing. I, for one, did not know about the institution until I became a chair of this committee. How many more South Africans do not have a view or know about your existence? So your marketing strategy in terms of positioning yourself in what you have a mandate to do, it's very important. So it's going to be very, very key for you to go out there and reposition yourself and market yourself and be known as an institution. Because I think you've got a space to play, you've got a very good role to play, and the opportunity is there. Then the other thing that you'd have to clarify in terms of your current strategic plan, you are talking about training of 14 South African leaders, but you're not so sure. You're not clearly talking about your criteria of recruitment of these people. What is it that is intended? Why choosing 14 people? Is it funded outside? How are you looking at funding it? Those things. And then I spoke on the finances, because I'm a bit worried what Honorable Davis raised in terms of you can't have such a huge wage bill against what you're expected to deal. 5% overall, because if you look at how you break it out between your remuneration, your goods and services, it's really, really worrying more than anything. And then so for me, it's as you do, and what Coach Jefferson said, that we're going to have more and more interaction. Because we want to find comfort that the investment for government is utilized effectively and efficiently. And that what the institution has been tenanted, even the issue of merging, because there's an intention when the merger happened, that you are on the right track in terms of establishing yourself, but as well in terms of reaching the objective. Because if we get it wrong at this early phase, we're going to sit with a problem in the long run. So we'd really want to see a lot of stability and a lot of work that is being done. And I think we must just gear ourselves up to more engagement, just in detail, after our budget process. That can give us more comfort in terms of stability. And I'll give you two response in no manner of order. You can decide how you allocate.
Thank
thank you, Chairperson, thank you, honourable members. I will give to my colleagues to answer some of the questions, but I think there's a couple of things that I want to respond to. Number one, I mean, this is a brand new institution just launched in Feb. Okay, so what it means is that, I mean, you know, we've got a couple of months into this. The kind of stuff that we're talking about is basically stuff that has been done in the separate entities, so we're bringing it together. So obviously, I mean, you know, there's a number of teasing issues that we still need to answer. I mean, issues around your collaborations, extensive collaborations, and so on. So we're still busy with the business model. The other thing is that, I mean, you know, the Department of Communication hasn't transferred the competencies that we require in order to be able to you know, to take some of the stuff forward. And that is very, very important. At the moment what we are doing, I mean, we are almost at the final stage of appointing a CEO, which we believe that, I mean, you know, once that appointment has been made, I think we can actually start progressing very fast, you know, in terms of coming back to what we're thinking. So a lot of what you read there is the strategy, the stuff that we believe that, I mean, you know, we will be able to achieve in the next 5 years. And obviously, I mean, I think it is important that, I mean, you know, we come back to the committee in terms of things like time frames and so on, so that, you know, we can concretize things. But if you look at our APP, for instance, I mean, you know, we do say what it is that we're going to be achieving quarter by quarter. And like we said, I mean, we've tried to make it as quantitative as possible so that, you know, it's not, we avoid gray areas. And the other thing with regard to our APP, I mean, we've worked with the Auditor General just to make sure that, I mean, you know, we are in sync in terms of, I mean, you know, how realistic are our targets in terms of, I mean, you know, quarter by quarter and so on. The with regard to the financial model, we perfectly realize that, I mean, the department won't be, given the size of the project, the department won't be able to fund this whole thing, that we should look into other sources of funding. That is why we are talking about the e-readiness fund, which where we believe that, I mean, the ICT industry will contribute into, you know. We know that, I mean, for instance, a couple of years ago when we started debating the transformation of the ICT industry, for instance, some of the multinationals said to us, look, we cannot give direct shareholding to South Africans given the nature of our business. However, we are prepared to contribute into some sort of a fund, you know, so that, I mean, you know, ICTs within the country can actually be advanced. So we're taking advantage of some of those things, and we are looking into other sources, not only for funding, but also capabilities like, I mean, you know, Dr. Beso has explained that we are busy working with IBM in the Northwest, you know, in terms of, I mean, setting up a co-lab in Northwest. So they are not giving us direct money. However, we are using their expertise in order to be able to do what we need to do. So those are some of the things that we're coming up with in order to make sure that this 1,000 by 1,000 that we are promising can actually happen. And we are talking to other stakeholders, I mean, including, I mean, you know, teachers, teacher unions, we're speaking to schools. So it's quite a busy program. But I think, I mean, you know, in a short time, I mean, I think we need to come and just to deliberate on what is it that we are doing and what are we targeting and what are we targeting. With that, I would like to give over to my colleagues to respond to some of the specific questions.
I think the Honourable Chairpersons summarised it very well in the last comments. Do things differently, collaboration and financial stability. I mean, those are the core concepts that we're working with. In terms of doing it differently, we've started this program in 2008 when the then late minister and also the then DG decided after a discussion in the President's International Advisory Council to embark on something like this because of the lack of all these skills in the country. So we went through a conceptual building phase, an incubation phase, and this year is really the start of advanced implementation, so we learned a lot. And I can also say, do things differently. This is nowhere in the world what we're doing. We've benchmarked this from universities in Hong Kong to Cuba, and from south to north, and we can safely say that this is an institution that can address the needs of the 21st century of all our people. It's a homebred, it's a South African model. So in terms of the e-readiness fund, I think actually Thursday we will put forward a final version of this fund. Because we have to deal with sustainability, we realize that you know, money is a problem. So how this fund will operate, who will what we will accept. For example, the IDM program is like 7.5 million rand to do research. And we have 15 international experts from 9 countries doing the research there. And they will today as we speak, come up with a proposal as to what the thematic area is there. I would love to see, you know, e-skills for land reform. So that is the kind of thing that we're working with. Now, the fund, and for example, we're working with the European Commission. I think there was an issue raised around exchange programs. The European Commission is funding us at the moment with also, I think it's about 2.5 million rand, to work on developing what we call communities of influence in e-skills, to facilitate exchange programs between Europe and South Africa. It's an international program. So we have all these, and the United Nations Development Plan came to us in kind, the World Bank is now interested, so I think and the ITU, the International Telecommunications Union, they proposed the model that we've developed to be replicated in the rest of Africa. So we're working with our colleagues in African countries, Kenya, we're now working with Ghana, Rwanda, we've worked with Egypt. So in other words, it's really how not only do we collaborate within our country, but also internationally, and I think we were very successful in that. So that fund, the model, will be presented to us on Thursday. Then I think it is whether the institute will be involved in training. This is exactly the uniqueness of this program. That we have to massify skills, and one entity located in one specific area will not do it. So the co-labs are actually doesn't belong to the university. So, but we use the capacities existing across the country to deliver skills. So it's just a different way of delivering skills. And I think the issue was raised at what level. I think our focus will have to be on the people, on society, and not only on PhD students. So we're doing a lot of work in communities, in our centers, and we would like to engage with USASA, with the post office, you know, around where our centers and what kind of technology do we put into these centers, what kind of connectivity. It's not only enough, if you want to skill people remotely, we need to have the right connectivity in these centers. Buy-in from teachers, the focus areas, how determined. Before we started off with this program, we did what we called environmental scans to understand what are the needs and the potential in each province, because the need for e-skills in Gauteng could be different to the need for e-skills in the Eastern Cape. And we've done that process now also in Northwest, where we did our research. We know what are the needs in the Northwest, and what are the provincial government and local authorities things, you know, the needs are, and also what kind of expertise we have at universities. So there's a combination of very involved processes to come up with what we do in what province. Buy-in from teachers, I think that is, we have to embark on that. I think we did submit, presented to the, sort of, in the past to the Portfolio Committee of Basic Education. We work very closely with the Department of Higher Education and Training. With Higher Education and Training, we actually involved in the turnaround strategy for FET colleges. So a lot of work is being done in that regard. Collaboration between departments, we feel it's good. We work with many departments and they're all willing. As part of this funding model is to actually get departments to ring-fence budgets where they have budgets for e-skilling. So this is one element of the funding model. We work with SAGA. For example, we offered and we talk about e-governance, school e-governance. Our president is very eager to deal with e-governance and skilling, so we developed an e-governance course in our co-lab in KZN. And also a module for middle management in government. You know, there's now a new concept called Gov 2.0. That is actually governance using social media. So away from the desktop, but so wherever you are, you can access on your smartphone government services. And so we will work with the School of Governance. I think that is part of the collaboration. Then awareness and marketing, I mean, if we have the right budget, I think we have to get the message out that we don't compete with universities, we don't compete with FET colleges, we don't compete with schools, but we do things differently. For example, the issue around literacy, e-literacy. You see, we in a world where it's no longer only about reading and writing and arithmetic. You know, those were many years ago. There's now this very important new literacy for the 21st century, and that's e-literacy. So we have to make sure that we find a synergy between, in many of our schools, where we deal with these problems, because, I mean, there's the UNESCO has a very interesting program around e-competencies for teachers that we want to pursue. The cost and average number, I think perhaps Moira can talk to that. I think there is the legacy of NAMESA. I think it's important to understand that, that now with this new entity, and in terms of the new model that we've developed, that will change, because we didn't spend a lot of money to get to the 3,500 people. In fact, the money wasn't even transferred, but by collaborating, you know, because the collaboration also means that you need not to build buildings. You see, you asked where will the building be? That's in the past. You see, there's a different way using community centers, using a lecture room at the university. So you don't need another 9 buildings in 9 provinces. So it's just a different, how do we massify the delivery of skills? The staff component, again, you see, we will not appoint staff. We work with our universities, and they deliver almost like per hour. We don't have overhead costs. So we utilize the best expertise at universities to deliver and to train and to do research. I mean, just to give you a sense, I mean, and we didn't pay for it. In our co-lab in Gauteng, at the moment, we have over 20 PhD students. Delivering, doing research in e-skills. Over 20 master students, honor students. And we didn't pay for that, but we provide our intellectual input to say, if you're doing this research, how can you tweak it to deliver on e-skills? So that is very important. That's where education comes in. The projects that were referred to, you've seen two projects there. We can give you a very long list of projects being done. There's only the Gauteng Collab in One radio and TV, but we can give you a list of a whole range of projects that are happening in the different collabs. Collabs, where they are located and when we will, I mean, it's entirely dependent on funding. That is a problem, you know, a risk that we face at this point in time in terms of the transfer of functions to the new entity. But that is, and then also you will find that we have recently established one in Limpopo that will deal with e-health and connected health, and now the one that we're working on in Northwest Province. Outstanding is Mpumalanga and the Free State. But we're talking to people there. I've talked about how collabs are decided, and also look at previously disadvantaged universities to become part of the University of the Western Cape, Durban University of Technology, Balbesu University, Waal University of Technology. So we also have to build capacities in these and research capacity on skills in these universities. The one in Gauteng is hosted by the University of Pretoria. Yes, internet banking, criminals, and so on. Yes, I mean, I think something that we're working on is actually a cybersecurity introduction to cybersecurity. We have it in our KZN Collab, where we have a radio program through our community radios for parents and for the public, where we talk about cybersecurity matters, you know, what you have to be on lookout for if you go to these basic things. I think we need to deal with. The newsletter, I mean, this is our 27th newsletter, and we distribute this newsletter to all our stakeholders across the world, over 700 on our list at this point in time, to big companies, to small companies, to the public, to keep them abreast of what it is that we're delivering. So the collabs, when we're going to cover the remaining, as I said, it's depending on budget. But we had meetings with the management of the Free State University, and we had at some point discussions with colleagues in Mpumalanga. Then there was issue around United Nations agencies. I mean, we have very good, you know, engagement with them, and they're sending us expertise. We work with them, and as I said, with the European Commission, we're working on an exchange program. We're also working on an exchange program with the Australian University of Technology in Brisbane, especially in the new media space, and also to get our young people, our youth, involved there. The youth, I think there was are we top down and bottom up? I think our biggest focus will have to be, our bottom up. And that is why we already developed an e-literacy course to really deal with the masses. I think that is very important. So we have a very strong focus on but we also have to focus on research, because we have to build that capacity to support e-skilling of society. We're working on a youth program. I just had a discussion with our youth person here this morning. We're working on a very important youth program and e-skills. And our skilling also takes place in community centres. So, in future, wherever there's a place with technology and connectivity, we will be able to skill people. We have a course that we call e-skills for centre managers. We sometimes have these e-centre facilities, but no one to really understand how to facilitate. So we have a module, And we can already teach people on e-skills for e-center managers. The HRD, yes, we're taking note of that, and we're working closely with the HRD committee. Curriculum, yes, it's curriculum across the board. Right, as I said, from engaging PhD students right down to curriculum for people at the community level. And what's also important, all these courses are certificated. So we also try to build a learning pathway. So it's not, you know, like we had in the past, you skill people for a certain purpose and after that people are unemployed. So we try to develop learning pathways. So if you give a person a certificate, the person can get another certificate, like we've done in our Gauteng collab with University of Pretoria around DTT. Okay, different pathways that we develop then. Merger is at the moment entirely dependent on the DOC to transfer. We've done the work, it is really for DOC to transfer the functions, the human resources, the budget and the assets. So it can happen very soon, hopefully this in the next few months. We talked about the School of Governance and how we will collaborate. We collaborate with whomever is out there in order to get our people skilled. And to conclude, the mention was made about decentralized model. That is the way that we operate. At 3,500 learners, we can provide the committee with a breakdown. They include, you know, right from researchers, right down to deep rural areas, where we have impacted with our courses during the last year as part of the incubation phase. Finances, that of course remains a problem, but we will look at that on Thursday when we will be presented with a funding model going forward, and particularly the e-readiness fund. They will also talk about schools and our engagement with schools. As I've said, the DOC has the task to promote e-literacy as per the National Development Plan, and we will have to engage with our schools and with the relevant departments there.
Thank you, Dr. Beso. I think what the chairperson is correct when the chairperson highlighted the question of sustainability, and that was the base of why we had to collaborate and why we had to form a new institute. What we had in the past was that we had a legacy of NEMISA being a heavily administrative institute, but with the output of an average of 150 students. So that had always been a challenge with regards to the number of students that we train per annum, and also the vis-a-vis the budget. So if you were to calculate, it was a very administratively heavy institution. So we had to collaborate and find a way so that we get the caliber of students or to come into broadcasting, because we did not actually scrap the broadcasting. We call it creative new media now. So we look at all media in terms of mobile apps, applications, broadcasting for mobile, TV, and community radio, community TV. We're still continuing with that, along with all e-skilling courses, but we're trying to do as little as we can with the money that we had, just to massify and make sure that we reach more people. So the problem we're having now is that the budget as it stands, and as I've mentioned before, it is the NEMISA budget only. We're still working in separate departments. We're still working with the department, so the department is handling one section of the strategy, which is the ESI branch and ESA, and we still have the NEMISA part being handled by as an entity now, as we're running it separately. Hence, why we keep on. I think Dr. Vesa also mentioned that, saying we're still waiting for the budget and for the transfer to be transferred. The amount is unknown at this point. We're waiting for the department to finalize it and to finalize also the transfer of staff and assets. So the problem had always been that we have always had a lot of employees in with regards to training, but as it was broadcasting has always been, because of the 12-month courses running, also 2-3 months, 3-year courses, they've always been administratively heavy with to the entity, and we actually had to change that model. Hence, that's what we're doing. The new institute was established, as the our chairperson, acting chairperson, had mentioned, on the 24th of February. So the lots of things are still in progress in terms of us finalizing them. One of them that Dr. Veso also mentioned was the e-readiness fund, which we working on the terms of reference, and we're trying to make sure that we become sustainable, because that was the problem also with the old model of what we had with NEMISA, was that we were heavily dependent on government grants. And now we're trying to make sure that our money is guaranteed by working on with collaborating with other institutions. So the terms of reference of how that will be done surrounding the e-readiness fund, we're still working on. And we also send it for comments to the National Treasury section, the section on communications, for them to actually also have inputs of how they can help us, because they always hammer us to say there is no new money, there is nothing that's going to come out of to fund us, so we must find a way to actually make sure that we become sustainable. The administrative costs, is quite right that the salaries are actually more than the administrative costs. There's a salary-related cost also, as I said. They include costs such as staff training and development, which we encourage continuous professional development, especially in those changing phases where we're changing from one institution to another. We need to upkeep with the ICT ever-evolving technologies. And one thing that a member said was that had compared the 2013-14 with the 2012-2013 and the 2013-14 financial years. Yes, that was also one of the things that we had vacancies that Dr. Veso had actually explained that we are, and I think also our acting chair, we are busy trying to fill, but also placing a moratorium on other vacancies so that we can see how it's going to pan out in the new institute. We are getting we are working on a new structure for the new institute, and which will entail grading the structure, how does it work with regards to the staff coming through from the Department of Communications, and how does it work with also the current staff, to make sure maneuvering the current staff so that we make sure that we can actually deliver on the strategic plan and the annual performance plan that we have currently. So those are the things that they're still work in progress with regards to the new entity. And the budget, as I mentioned, it sways more on what is currently or what was currently the old NEMISA. And we are trying this year to make sure that when we combine the budget with NEMISA and the ESI and e-skills, we actually can get a clearer picture in terms of staff costs and how we can actually work to make sure that we don't carry over that legacy whereby the budget was administratively heavy and we had a lot of problems with more of a sway on salary costs, especially because you need the staff from the training and development staff for the students, and also to massify the output. One question was the breakdown with goods and services. The goods and services under the 36 million that you saw is 14 million. So most of it goes to goods and services, but it does not, as I mentioned, cover the other section of ESI and the ESA branch that's coming through from the Department of Communications. We had a question on funding model. I think I've touched on that when we spoke about e-readiness fund. And the collabs, Dr. Vesa had mentioned that the collabs can only go on as far as they are funded. So when we don't have funding, and we right now it's a quite of a something that we're working on with the Department of Communication, how we actually going to carry on funding the collabs will be something that also will be addressed under the e-readiness fund terms of reference. So we will to make sure that the collabs are not heavily dependent on the grant also. So it's something that we are working on with the Department of Communication. And one member asked, what is the cost per beneficiary and how much does it cost? Right now, the historical costs that are bought, it's with regards to the NEMIFA costs. Because of the new entity, Incamba has been something that we work separately. It was something that we work in. It's worked by the subsections of how much to e-skill. It's worked through the Department of Communications, and we've been working mainly on the co-lab part of creative new media, which is the broadcasting and television and radio. So we are able, I can give you the cost of how much it costs us to actually skill a person at NEMIFA, which was a hell of, it was much more, which was 50,000 rand to 60,000 rand per student. But now that we have moved along with, we have this new e-skilling institute, we do not have the numbers as yet. But one of the things that we have in our strategy is impact analysis, where we will actually cost how much it actually, the impact that we've got, and how much it costs to actually e-skill someone. Dr. Vesa had mentioned that majority of the most of the things were done through collaboration with universities, collaboration with other institutions. So it would generally cost the entity nothing from the e-skilling side, some e-skilling. And one example is the mobile apps application that we had with the University of Pretoria, whereby they would actually claim most of the costs with regards to training that course. I think I've covered most of the questions. Thank you.
Chairperson, I wanted to add on the financial, because we spoke about staff costs, why they are high. You see, the needs are traditional. I mean, we've been working in an environment where the skills are very scarce. And to keep somebody who could have actually made more money by going into practice to teach, we had to some sort of, I mean, you know, come to some sort of a negotiable settlement that actually says that we will, this is how far we can meet you, and we know that, I mean, you know, there's always temptation for people to go into the industry. And if you look at the history of the turnover in terms of our staff, I mean, especially highly skilled ones, you would realize that we've lost a lot of people over the years due to, I mean, there's always lucrative offers out there. So we had to some sort of also make sure that, I mean, you know, we don't keep the guy hungry if he otherwise could have been okay. That's always been the issue.
Just a plus, if you attend it on the champion, and ideally the champion of the e-skill institute and the activities will reside more and more on the executives and together with ourselves. The ministers in the related departments will have to be the champions and make this institute and its activities published and more people get to know about its activities. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation and the interaction and the responses. I think indeed it does give some comfort that we will definitely have interactions, because one of the things is, as you said, when you talk about the issue of you wanted to say something before I close, because I'm closing on the matter.
Are we permitted to ask another question? A follow up.
Give one round and then we get them to respond.
Because sometimes more questions are generated from the interactions with the department. Thank you. You know, our job in this budget vote process is to make sure that the South African public get bang for their buck. And that's really what us as a portfolio committee need to do. We really need to scrutinize how this money is spent and whether the public does get bang for its buck. And I haven't got any clarity really from this presentation on that, to be quite honest with you, because I don't think that you guys actually know yourselves. But if you say that the previous entity only benefited 150 students, if we take that as a benchmark for this entity going forward, which is spending 40 million rand, I calculate that that's going to be 266,000 rand per beneficiary. Now, I don't see how that's bang for the South African public's buck. And I'd like to know exactly what that 266,000 rand per beneficiary actually goes to. What does that beneficiary get? And how does that beneficiary actually take those skills forward and benefit the South African public? Thank you.
I think mainly as well, maybe just to allow you to respond to that one and then we close on your presentation so that we can move forward. But I think more for us would be to have more detailed engagement just with you. Because the couple of issues, as you responded, that needs more engagement on. Maybe respond closer on.
Yes, we understand that the question, you know, 100%, but I think we're also dealing within this new institution with the NAMESA legacy. I think they have to understand that. So with a new model, we will have to see how we deal with that. I mean, if you look at the money that we spend, we got from the ESI part, and the 3,500 students across the spectrum, it's not much. So we can, in terms of our new model and the way we will structure the institute going forward, we will bring down the cost dramatically because we will use technology to teach remotely many thousands of students with not much money because we have the proof of concept in the strand. So the idea is exactly that. How through collaboration can we with the money that we have actually reach more students? And NAMESA in the past was, they got a few students in with a budget that goes into the building and to other overheads. So that is what we will look at, and I think we hope, the next time we meet that we have some hard numbers. And how we're going to go forward in terms of looking at this problem. But I mean, you're right. I mean, in terms of per capita expenditure on students in the old NAMESA, it's not a good picture.
Yeah, because I want to, as I was closing, the issue why I was saying to you that we need more engagement, because we'd have to bring the department into the discussion so that they clarify even the issues of transfer of cost, transfer of responsibilities. But the weakness where we're sitting, dealing with the financial statements of the previous institutions that were separated while you are now a merger, and we'll have to, that's what I was saying in my engagement, we'd have to watch you as if that's the correct way to watch or oversight as you establish, so that we ensure that you do not inherit the wrong things that were in the past, for example, the opinions from the auditor general and all those issues. So that's why it's going to be important for that process for us to really get into. But it will be more meaningful when we have you and the department here, because certain issues can't be responded to, you have to be responded by the department, and others can be responded by you. But what we urge as I close on this one is that try and find space to really deal with the issues that have been raised by members, so that when we have an engagement later, we still don't have to, we get more progress. Yes, it's a few months from February, but we need to be in, by the time we get to adjustment appropriation in October, we need to be comfortable as the committee that the money that is coming to you, it's money that is worth coming to you. You have the plans that are going to be able to utilize the money effectively. You have the necessary tools and you have the capacity to do it. because otherwise we would not be comfortable to appropriate you money in the adjustments if there isn't comfort in that area. So I hope we'd be able to have that discussion before the appropriation process comes, before the adjustments comes through. Thank you very much for your presentation. Members, I'm going to ask us to take 10 minutes break, but as well to allow the next presentations to shift in and my clock is almost 2 minutes to 11, so if you presentations.